104.5 The Zone.
The Orange and White Zone.
Big Orange Sunday with Doug Matthews. Presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
The Zone.
Happy Mother's Day and welcome to Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach one more week. He will be back next week. He and Mrs. Matthews been out of town on a nice vacation, but he will be back next week. But glad to be filling in for him again today. Very excited about our show again. We've got Coach Kippy Brown will be joining us again the first half hour. Got a lot of compliments on the history of wide receiver U, and obviously nobody knows more about that than Coach Kippy Brown. So we're going to finish that up a little bit. We didn't quite get to his time in the 90s, obviously some very good receivers there. And then we're going to talk about the staff that Coach Brown was talking about with that three wide receiver two-back set that that they really made famous in the 80s in Tennessee football, and how it worked. Some great coaches on that staff, and I think you'll find it really interesting. Coach Brown's going to take us inside the offensive staff room. Then we're going to go to Alan Cockrell, talk SEC Vol baseball. SEC tournament right around the corner, and obviously Vol's still on the bubble. Then we'll finish up again with Ryan Callahan of GoVols247.com, talk Tennessee Vol football recruiting. So with that, we've got Coach Kippy Brown back this morning. Coach, good morning.
Morning, Tate. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, sir. I appreciate you being back with us. As like we talked about, Dad will be back next week. But, Coach, I got a lot of compliments from last week about the you breaking down wide receiver U last year. A lot of people really, really enjoyed it. So, one, thank you, and two, we'll as we talked about off air, we're going to kind of finish up. We ended in 1989. Basically, your last season, Tennessee won the Cotton Bowl, right? SEC Championship, won the Cotton Bowl, and we kind of finished on Carl Pickens, but that was fun last Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, Carl was a terrific, terrific player, and he from Murphy, North Carolina over there, and we were lucky to get him. We were in a knockdown, drag-out battle with South Carolina for him, and his mother stepped in and said, you need to go to Tennessee. So we got a little lucky there.
Okay, so at the end of the 1989 season, with the Vols, like I said, won the Cotton Bowl in 1990, January 1st, 1990, against Arkansas. I think finished number four in the country. Okay, you leave and go to the New York Jets as running back coach. What took you there?
Well, Walt Harris has a University of Pacific background, and the head coach of the Jets, Bruce Coslett, used to come down, and actually we used to play basketball over in Stokely all the time. Bruce, your dad and I, Walt, we always played basketball on our lunch break or in our off time. And so I got to know Bruce, and when he got the head job, he hired his best friend, to be the wide receiver coach, and the only job he had was running back coach. So he offered it to me. And, I'd been at Tennessee for a while. I decided that it was time to do something a little different. So I took off and went to New York for 3 years. And then Phillip gets the job. In 3 years, Phillip's the new head coach. And my son, who had played basketball up in New York, Wade Houston was the basketball coach. He got a chance to play basketball at Tennessee. So it was a perfect time for me to come back.
Yes, it was. And when you came back, already some very good wide receivers there. And then obviously you added to it. But so let's start there. So you come back in 1993. Coach Fulmer is the head coach. He hired you back. Mm-hmm. I guess he had kind of taken over from the end of the season before there. And now you want to talk about some wide receivers. I guess Corey Fleming and Billy Williams were probably the oldest of this group, but you had Corey Fleming during this time, Billy Williams, Joey Kenton, Marcus Nash. Let's start with Corey Fleming. He's a Nashville guy from Stratford, big athletic receiver.
Oh, just all the athletic ability in the world. I mean, Corey was an athlete. He's a good basketball player. He could do it all. Billy Williams was an excellent player. Billy, got nicked a little bit, but he was a terrific athlete. and Joey Kent, what a player he turned into. But you know, these guys, they worked hard and they didn't come ready made. They had to develop their skills and stuff. And I can remember Joey's dad was a deacon in the church. And the first time I met his dad, he said, "Coach Brown, Joey tells me that you call him a lot of names during practice." And I was so embarrassed. And then you know what he said? He said, "Keep doing it.
Keep doing it."
Keep doing it. So, you know, but Joey was a terrific player, and what a great career he had.
Here's a little background on it. It's funny how, you know, just little changes can change the players' careers. You know, it's like so many people told me they love the story about Terry McDaniel, right? But Corey Fleming. So from here, what most people don't know is Dad recruited him before he left.
Yep.
Dad wanted, if had Dad been there, Corey would have been a free safety. He would have never been a wide receiver. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it really is. And but you've got to be smart like that. And your dad knows football players and get guys in the right spot. And then some guys have enough ability to play both ways. You know, like we talked about a guy like Carl Pickens, where Corey was that kind of athlete. He could easily play both ways.
Okay, so let's talk about so Corey, Billy Williams. I tell you another one. I love this. I don't know if you'll remember this. Maybe you will. But it was the summer going into the '89 season, your last year, and had a prospect camp. Y'all kind of started doing those then, and I was there as just running around. And Billy Williams could fly, kind of like you're talking about. You found out pretty quick the guys that can run,
right?
And so you all went and got Coach Majors. You remember this? And y'all brought him down. You get it set up. You're going to run a fly route to Billy, a go route, whatever. And Billy runs this go route. It's so pretty, Coach. And I mean, he's running. He blows right by that DB. Might have been Mose Phillips, seriously. It might have been Mose Phillips at cornerback. He blows right by him. Quarterback throws a perfect ball. It hits him right in the hands. Billy drops it. And I'll never forget, you pulled him aside and kind of the same thing as Joey in some terms I can't repeat on the radio. You said, "You got to be kidding me, man. I brought the man all the way down here." And do you remember that?
Yeah, of course. It happened quite often. I mean, we used to get some really good players in our camps. And, you know, Craig Faulkner. I'd have never known about Craig Faulkner, but he came. His dad brought him to camp, and God, he was the fastest thing out there, and we timed him a couple times. And before you know it, I'm up in Richmond, Kentucky, trying to convince him that he's good enough to play at Tennessee. So, you know, a lot of these things happen. And you know, the great thing about what we did at Tennessee, and your dad was part of it, is we were a developmental staff. A lot of the players that went on to have good careers, they didn't come ready-made. And I think that a lot of staffs have to, you know, adopt that philosophy. Is you've got to take a kid that wants to be there and wants to be good, find the right spot for him, and then develop him. Get him in the weight room, teach him what he needs to know skill wise, and he'll be a good player for you. I mean, and that happened with so many kids at Tennessee.
So, before we get off this, so Joey Kent, Marcus Nash are also there. Your last tour, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Joey, the number one all-time receptions leader in UT history with 183, and Marcus Nash with 177. Like you, kind of the other guys, they were all a little bit different. And Joey, you know, not the tallest, I can't believe the fastest, but I think, and what a great guy he is. He's here. What a first-class guy he is. But what was it about Joey? Obviously, he played with Peyton, but what was it about Joey that made him? I mean, he's the all-time leading receiver at wide receiver U.
Well, first of all, Joey's got a lot of ability. He's smart. Joey doesn't make any mistakes now. And I think that's a big thing. So he's dependable. And as a quarterback, having played quarterback, and I'm sure Peyton would tell you the same thing. When you've got a guy that you can depend on to be where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, you know, be the right depth, and do what he's supposed to do, that gives you a lot of confidence. You're looking for that guy. And Joey was that kind of guy.
So, Coach, I'm looking at the list of the top nine. I don't know why I'd always printed off nine, but the top nine wide receiver, the top nine career reception leaders, Joey Kent, number one. Marcus Nash, number two. Thomas D. Woods, number eight. And Tim McGee, number nine. You coached four of them. The other ones in there, Cedric Wilson, he's number three. That surprised me, but I loved him. Mm-hmm. Peerless Price, Jason Swain, Robert Majors.
I recruited Peerless.
I was going to say, you would have loved to have coached Peerless, right?
Oh, yeah. Listen, me and Peerless talked all the time. You know, he was a terrific football player.
In that, of all those guys we've gone through today, first-rounders, last Sunday, Clyde, Anthony Miller, Alvin Harper, Marcus Nash, all first-rounders, and then Carl Pickens and Joey Kent were second-rounders. But
yeah.
All players, right? And the neat thing about them, they were all different, and they all played with different style of quarterbacks as well.
Yep, they sure did.
Okay, so you mentioned last Sunday you were talking. I'm going to set this up. We'll go to break, and you can take us inside the staff room. But last week you were talking about when you got there, you all kind of started running the three wide out, two back, mm-hmm. no tight end offense, and it wasn't just a deep game, a lot of quick game, things like that. And I wanted to kind of set up the why you all started that, and then I've heard Dad talk about it for years. Those staff meetings were you could have charged admission for that, correct?
Without a doubt.
Okay, so you get there in 83. Walt Harris gets there in 83.
Yeah.
So Coach, go ahead.
When I drove down, I never will forget. I was at the University of Louisville, and I get a call. And it's Coach Major's secretary, Pat. She says Coach Major would like for you to come down and interview for a wide receiver job. And I said, well, when does he want me to come down? I talked to him. And I went and told Coach Weber, who was the head coach at Louisville, and Pat said, let me make you an airline flight. But there were no flights. Coach Major wanted me there today. And there were no flights, so he said, get in the car and drive on down. So I did. I got in my dealer car, and I drove down from Louisville to Tennessee and get there, and they're having the workouts in the bubble. And, you know, the bubble where the tennis court used to be, and I walk in, and that's when I first meet Walt Harris. And Walt had just got there, been there one day, and he's sitting there watching them work out. So I got a chance to meet Walt, your dad, and Phillip, Cutcliffe. They're all working the players out. And Coach Majors takes me up to his office. And I've told this story many times. First thing he said to me, first thing came out of his mouth is, how much money you make? And don't lie to me. and so I'm sitting there and my jaw drops. I don't know what to say. I had to tell the truth. And so I said, well, I need to go back and talk to my wife and talk to Coach Weber and before I make any decisions. He said, well, get on the phone, call him. So I'm sitting there talking. I'm talking to Andy. I said, what you call me for? You got to make that decision. And then Coach Weber, he was terrific. He said, hey, you got to do what you got to do for your career and your family and what have you. And you're a Tennessee guy. He said, you got to do what you got to do. So that's how I got to Tennessee.
Well, I love it. And so you get there. You're the wide receiver coach. Coach Harris is the offense coordinator, quarterback coach.
Yeah.
Coach Fulmer's the line coach. Dad's the running back coach, and Coach Cutcliffe is the tight end coach.
That is an all time good staff right there.
That's pretty good. Go ahead.
Well, and I'll tell you why. I mean, this staff was very smart, and they weren't afraid to speak up. And that's not always the case. I've been on staffs where guys are, you know, they won't speak up and say what's on their mind. And I think things are lost when you have a staff like that. But Phillip, David, your dad, Doug, Walt Harris, I mean, everybody, if they had something on their mind, you knew it. You knew it, and that makes for a great staff. We often disagreed, but we never let it linger. And we worked together, and we spent time together away from football also. We played basketball, tennis, golf, and you guys were young. Our kids were young, so usually went home after work. But we enjoyed each other for the most part. We really did. And even after all these years, when we get together, Phillip and your dad and myself and David, when we get together, it's like old times. I mean, you don't forget some of the times we spent together.
Okay, Coach, when we come back, we'll go inside the staff room and kind of you'll help us with the way you all came up with the game plans and things like that going into week. We'll be right back with Coach Kippy Brown on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company on 104.5 The Zone.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
Coffee-cured filet, ribeye, New York strip, steak and biscuits, slow-roasted prime rib. At Stony River Steakhouse & Grill, we take dining seriously. Enjoy our daily selection of fresh seafood entrees and choose from our award-winning wine list with over 30 wines by the glass. Savor a culinary experience to remember at Stony River in two Nashville-area locations, West End Avenue and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Cosmetic dentistry, restorative dentistry, as specialized areas in dentistry as it gets. For over a decade and a half, Dr. Clint Newman has specialized in these two areas in Middle Tennessee. Located in Green Hills, online at ClintNewmanDDS.com, Dr. Newman's vast experience coupled with his artistic eye has provided his highly valued patients incredible results. Check him out at ClintNewmanDDS.com. Restorative dentistry, cosmetic dentistry.
Hi, folks. This is Herb Berry, owner of Berry's Jewelry Company in historic downtown Madison. You know, engagement and anniversary season is here. And if you're thinking of popping the question this year, Berry's Jewelry Company has the answer. At Berry's, we feature a tremendous selection of quality diamond engagement rings and bridal sets, often up to 50% less than other retail jewelers. So if you have a big anniversary coming up, please stop by to check out the selection of exquisite diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, diamond anniversary rings, or even an upgrade for her current bridal set. Berry's carries a huge selection of ring settings, and you can even select your own center diamond. Thrill her with the best from Berry's, and do your budget a favor. Don't pay retail. So come on over to Berry's and see for yourself what clients for many years have discovered. Berry's Jewelry Company, for quality, value, selection, and service. You just can't do better than Berry's. Visit us today in Madison at berriesjewelryco.com or Facebook.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Welcome back to Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company, where it all begins with home. Coach Kippy Brown back with us for another segment. Coach, okay, so we set it up. Coach Harris, and I think it's important to note that Coach Harris, as you mentioned, he had a Pacific background. When he came to Tennessee as the offensive coordinator, he had come from Illinois, where he had been with Mike White, who was a former offensive line coach for the 49ers. So, as like you've been talking about, three wide receivers, three-step quick game. Now you know where that came from, right? So
But Tennessee was already doing it. It was already there because the three wide receivers that had graduated right before I got there, they were on the field and they were doing it before we got there. And Walt kind of came in and enhanced it with some ideas, but with Willie Gault, Mike Miller, and who's the third guy that year before I got there?
Hancock?
No, it wasn't Hancock. Mike Miller, Willie Gault, and
Clyde.
It'll come to me. But there, those three guys all got drafted. They left, and so the next year, three new receivers, Clyde Duncan, Tim McGee, and Lenny Taylor. So, you know, you had a lot of experience, and Clyde had even played in the secondary. So, but anyway, they had been doing the three wide receivers. So when Walt came in, and it's a simple deal. We're going to spread them out. Hopefully we get them in nickel. And we're doing it to run the ball. If we get them in nickel, get them to take one of those linebackers out, put a DB in, and put him in position to where one of those receivers can block him, then we've got a distinct advantage. We were in I formation. We're coming downhill at you.
Coach, was it Darryl Wilson?
Yes, that's who it was. That's who it was. But those guys were gone. So we had three guys that had really never started, you know. And so the three-wide offense was really to run the ball. And if they did play you with seven people inside, the answer was a quick game. We're going to throw hitches. Or if they press, we're going to run by you, which we could do. We had speed and size, and it just kind of grew, and it grew, and so pretty much we had three wide receivers on the field on first down, second down, and then of course on third down we put a tight end in there too with three receivers. But that was our offense. But it was set up to run the ball.
Yes, and so I've always heard Dad through the years talk about it, and so. And that was what was so good about it. The goal was to run the ball,
yes.
And he talks about the thing that made it so great. I've heard him say it forever is, you know, you and Coach Harris were kind of the passing guys, right? And then Fulmer and Dad and a young David Cutcliffe were the running games, running guys, and y'all balanced each other out. And he talks about in the room you all fought. But he said the thing that was so great about it, I've heard him say it forever, is one. Didn't matter how good you were. If you were going to play wide receiver for Kippy Brown, you were going to block. You were going to be physical, or you weren't going to play. And then
he had to.
And he always talked about the thing he loved about Coach Harris. He said Coach Harris coached quarterbacks like you would coach dang linebackers. But anyways, you all believed in the physical part.
Yeah, and to run that offense, you have to do that. Wide receivers have to block. And then, you know, those safeties will play games with you. So you've got to have guys that are willing to go down and dig those guys out. And make a play and don't let them take shots at your running back. And, you know, through the years, there's been some guys that would do it. Terrence Cleveland would go in there and take your head off. You know, those guys were really physical guys. So that was the offense, and it was terrific. And we, you know, you had to work through all the little nuances. You know, when we played different people, they'd come up with a scheme to kind of, you know, throw us off key. And then, but before a couple of series went by, we knew what they were doing and figured it out and had an answer for it. And then here we go.
So the neat thing about this staff right here, now once it gets to this staff, it stayed together offensively, no changes until 88. Coach Harris leaves after the 88 season. I believe brought in Coach Jim Hoffer, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Fulmer becomes the offense coordinator. But so this group that we're talking about right now, And like you said, Coach Harris, I think Coach Majors knew what he wanted when he brought Coach Harris in to keep running that offense. And, man, it really just took off from there. I didn't know this until I was reading it. Alan Cockerell, who's on next, he set the single-season passing record. And I did not know that. Then it went from him to Tony to Darryl. Yeah. And, I mean, the offense just exploded. And by the time it got to that your last season in 89, three wide receivers. Let's think about that. You got Pickens, Harper, TD, you got Anthony Morgan, and then you got Cobb Webb at running back with Roland Poles and Greg Amsler on offense at fullback. And take away the offensive line. But at that time, now it wasn't possible to keep this staff together, but at that time, I would say it's as explosive as an offense as anyone in the country.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. We had figured out all the little nuances and all the problems, and we recruited well. And players knew their role, and that's important. I think that gets lost a little bit now with players. You know, you got to identify what you expect out of those guys, and then demand it of them. And if you've got a good scheme and they're capable of doing what you coach them to do, then you're going to be successful. You know, I think that's something I think that coaches sometimes let slip. You know, make sure it's you got to identify clearly what the guy is expected to do, and then he's got to go do it, or you got to put somebody else in.
And I think it really what it culminated in was that 1990 January 1st. So it's the 89 season Cotton Bowl. You all defeated Arkansas 31-27. You're both 10-1. And if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, I remember kind of going in. By now, Coach Harris had left. Dad had moved over to defense. And yeah. I think I remember him saying, you know, that was – you all did this week to week. And really the message was, guys, you're going to have to outscore them. And that offense did.
Yeah. And you know, here's the great thing about that staff, too. And it was a good staff. One of the best. I've been on a lot of staffs. But this one was one of the best that I'd been on, that your dad and Phillip and Cutcliffe. And you had to be unselfish. You know, Pickens was good enough to play both ways. And he played both ways in that Cotton Bowl and got player of the game on defense. But we had that kind of staff, and we were smart enough to figure out that, hey, we need to use this kid because he's got all this ability. Put him back here at safety and let him win for you. And so, you know, when you've got that kind of relationship on your coaching staff, you know, and I think, you know, Coach Fulmer is going to help Coach Pruitt figure that out. When you get your staff in sync and you know exactly what's expected out of everybody involved, then you can win, and you will win. You know, it may take a little time to get the right pieces in place, but that was the greatest thing about that staff is we knew exactly what was expected of us, and we did it.
You know, Coach, when you I think one thing Coach Majors maybe doesn't get enough credit for, maybe he does. I don't think so, but you would know. So we've talked a bunch about this offensive staff on that. For the most part, on the other side, who did you have? You had Ken Donahue. We don't need to explain how great he was. Ron Zook was a young coach, coaching DBs. Dick Bumpus was there. Coach Bumpus, you know, long career with TCU and all that. Obviously, Coach Zook's been a head coach two times. Man, one thing Coach Majors could do, I guess it's identifying talent in young coaches, right? Because he got all of you young, and look at the careers all these guys had.
Yeah. Johnny, he was great. And you know, you know what he was great at? He was great at getting guys to compete. I mean, Ron, he would go by Ron Zook. He'd walk by him in the hall and say, "Coach Zook, you want to let Coach Brown kick your butt again today?" And then just walk off. And Ron get to breathing hard. I said, "Ron, he's doing that just to get you fired up." But Johnny was great like that, and he would say little things and do little things to push your buttons, and it was good. It was good. I'm a better football coach, and I became a better football coach from being on his staff at Tennessee.
Well, Coach, we're glad you came. Hey, thank you so much for spending the past two Sundays with us. This has been great, man, and I know people love listening to you tell stories. Could do a whole hour, but thank you, my man.
All right, buddy. Have a great week.
I will, and tell Miss Dion happy Mother's Day. Talk soon.
Same to your wife, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay. Coach Kippy Brown, wide receiver U. He is the man. Up next, Alan Cockrell. We'll talk Vol baseball, SEC tournament right around the corner on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company on 104.5 The Zone.
This is Mike Keith with a hot tip for football fans. You don't have to miss a second of the action for a meal break. Just call Rafferty's and order one of their delicious party trays to feed the crowd. It's quick and easy. Whether you're at home, partying with friends, even at the office, you can enjoy Rafferty's famous chicken fingers, club sandwiches, ribs, and much, much more. Just call ahead and pick up right in their carryout store. Your party trays will be ready when you get there for the whole crowd. That's Rafferty's, with locations across Tennessee.
Locally owned for over 20 years, Franklin American Mortgage Company has grown from humble roots to become one of the largest mortgage lenders in the nation. But they've never gotten too big to give back to the communities that have given them so much. They're proud to support numerous national and regional charities, as well as youth, collegiate, and professional sports in the Nashville area. Their values aren't only in their great rates and unparalleled service, they're in everything they do. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1599.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy, president of Forklift Systems. Thanks for another incredible year. Business is booming, and we seek exceptional people in Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama. Recent customer feedback said, it's refreshing to deal with a company of integrity with people you trust. It brightens my day when I call your office, your response is fast, you're easy to do business with. If that sounds like you, email me your resume to careers@forkliftsystems.com.
Family law, a very specialized area of law in Tennessee. Burt McCarter at mcelaw.com has handled thousands of cases over the past 18 years in this very specialized field. Understanding divorce and separation, child custody, child support and visitation, father's rights and alimony, all these areas, Burt has spent his entire adult life working with and for families right here in Middle Tennessee. If you're facing one of these situations, let Burt help you. His website, mcelaw.com.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
Stover's Liquidation has what you need for your spring home projects, inside or outside, with the biggest selection and best prices anywhere. Hundreds of truckloads of landscaping stones in stock right now, all 10% off. And while supplies last, get a free 5x8 area rug for every 1,000 square feet of hardwood purchase. Glass, stone, and metal mosaics, all buy one, get one free. All shaker-style cabinets, 10% off. That's Stover's in Cookeville, Antioch, or Knoxville, open 7 days a week, or online anytime at stoversliquidation.com. Stover's.
Welcome back to Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company, where it all begins with home. Time to talk a little Vol baseball. That means Alan Cockrell joins us. Alan, good morning.
Hey, Kate. What's going on today?
Beautiful day here in Nashville. Hope it is where you are, and getting ready to get Mother's Day kicked off. So it's going to be a good day.
That's right. Yep, absolutely.
Well, Alan, last week when we last talked to you, you said the Vols had to win the Kentucky series to make the SEC tournament, which is the goal. They did that, won that series 2-1, got wins on Friday and Sunday. Problem is we're down 0-2 now to Vanderbilt this weekend. I got a 12 o'clock noon game today, but going 0-2, 0-3 was not the plan against Vanderbilt, right?
It was not. This is a must win, obviously. And fortunately for Tennessee, they have their most consistent guy on the hill today in Will Neely. So we'll see how it plays out.
Well, as we mentioned, there's 14 teams in the SEC. Only 12 of them make it. The good thing is we know Alabama's out. Although, funny, they beat LSU last night, which makes LSU 13-13. But really, it's coming down. It's going to really come down to Tennessee and Mississippi State, probably for that 12th spot. Is that about right?
Well, I mean, Missouri's still in the hunt too. You know, they're in South Carolina today, and they're in the exact same boat as Tennessee and Mississippi State. If they can somehow figure out a way to win that series today, that puts them in a good position because they go home for the final three against Tennessee. Mississippi State is they're in a little bit of trouble. They have Florida at home next week, and Florida is just an absolute gauntlet right now. They're putting up runs at an alarming rate. They have power. They have speed. They put together good at bats. And then everybody knows about their pitching. So Mississippi State could be in a world of hurt.
Yeah, they are. And right now they're sitting at, I think, 11-15. I believe Tennessee's sitting at 10-16. But they're down before they even get to Florida next week. They're down 0-2 to Kentucky, which they play again today. So kind of like the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game today, it's got to be a must-win for Mississippi State, doesn't it?
It is. It's must win for three schools at this point. Tennessee, Missouri, and Mississippi State. They all need to win and just kind of control their own destiny.
So you mentioned the good thing. So Tennessee plays Missouri next week, all right, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Missouri. So, you know, three teams in it. Obviously, those two are probably going to you know, cancel each other out. But you had mentioned yesterday on Forklift Systems, Florida clinched at least a share of the SEC title yesterday. That could possibly change their pitching. So that, I guess that could make it a little bit easier of a series next week for Mississippi State with Florida, right?
Well, it's possible. You know, I anticipate Florida running their guys out there, their starters. They may control pitch counts just to kind of give them a little bit of a rest. You know, the pitching in postseason play, when it becomes tournament play, you need as much depth as you possibly can have. So I think Florida's gonna run their guys. Their three weekend starters, they're gonna run them out there. They may limit their pitches to maybe five innings. And then they're probably, if I were doing it, I would get my bullpen lined up so that they're all getting work prior to going into the SEC tournament. I would want them all to have work and be sharp before we go into that.
So LSU, we mentioned them. They were sitting. I think they're sitting now at 13-13. I guess it's a possibility if they went 0-3 in the next series, but really it's down to those three. And again, Alabama definitely out of it. But so Tennessee, the way that they played these last two games, you called this one a must win. Are you surprised that they're down 0-2 right now?
Vanderbilt has some good arms, and they have depth. And Tennessee needs to do, for lack of a better way to put it, they need to do a better job of capitalizing on opportunities that they create. And last night they really didn't do that. They came out of the gate swinging the bats. They jumped out to a 2-0 lead. But Tennessee didn't get a hit from the second inning. They didn't get another hit until the eighth inning. They've got to do a better job of being consistent in an approach. They need to do a better job of staying in at bats. And just grinding, and that's what they've done so well this year. But yesterday, it was the first time I saw some panic in their at bats.
So, as a former hitting coach, hitting instructor, you saw panic in their bats. What this must win game today? So, if you're inside that dugout, inside that facility, what do you tell them?
Well, you know, you got to have an approach. You go into each and every game with a game plan and an approach, and you're going to stay with that approach until the pitcher shows you that you need to make an adjustment. And yesterday, I thought they were a little bit more free swinging. Tennessee's done a good job of using the big part of the field, gap to gap, and they get hits. They put balls in play. They create action. They don't have the big bopper or two in their lineup, so they just need to put barrel on baseball. Yesterday, I saw them get out of their approach a little bit. When you face good pitching, Kate, you can't cover the entire 17 inches of the plate, so you have to give a pitcher something, but you have to cover the other two-thirds. Yesterday, I saw Tennessee expanding their approach a little bit. They got away from who they are offensively, and that's just grinding out at bats and putting pressure on the other side.
So when that's happening, for those of us that don't know, and I'm one of them, like, whose responsibility is that? Is that, you know, I think in football we notice sometimes if you see something, it's up to the coach. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
When that's happening during a game, or is that just one of those things that during a game it's just really hard to get to? But when you see that happening, getting away from that approach, like you said, on the plate, whose responsibility is that?
Well, I mean, it is the coaching staff, the hitting coach, the head coach, the Tennessee's hitting coach is their third base coach, so it's difficult for him to talk to hitters prior to at bats. He may talk to some guys in between innings before he goes to the third base coaching box. But you know, I listened to Tony Vitello's post-game interview last night, and he admitted that, you know, there were a couple of calls in the game that created a little bit of panic within his team. A couple of calls that went their way. They went to the video review, and Tennessee came out on the wrong side of both of those reviews. And he said he thought that it created a little bit of tension on the club, and the kiss of death as a hitter is trying to do too much. He didn't say that, but that's kind of what I saw, and I think that's probably what he was alluding to. But if you're going to stay within an approach and keep a consistent attack and pressure on a pitcher, you have to really, really stay committed to what you're trying to do. Good example of that was in the eighth inning. Tennessee was down 4-2. Charleston and Ammons both reached base, and Tennessee's got the heart of their order up. Vandy's got big left-hander Zach King on the mound. Zach's probably 6'5", 6'6". He's a little bit of a crossfire, meaning his stride leg kind of crosses over the center part of the mound, and two right-handed hitters, when he throws pitches, it creates a little bit of deception in the location of the pitch. He's coming from an angle that you don't normally see a lot from guys. But he got through the heart of the order, and Tennessee, in my opinion, was trying to cover the whole plate. And you've got to give that big guy, you've got to give him that inner third of the plate. But I am looking and expecting, anticipating, and ready for any pitch, fastball, slider, that's out over the plate. I'm looking to drive the ball center field, right center field, as a right-handed hitter. And Tennessee was not on the ball away. It looked to me as though they were a little too concerned about the ball in. And as a result, they got some pitches to hit out over the plate, but they were just a little bit tardy or a little bit underneath those pitches and couldn't barrel them up and get themselves back in that game. He got through the inning, and Vanderbilt tacked on 3 in the ninth, and that was that.
So, Alan, Tennessee has one more against Vanderbilt today. Missouri has one more at South Carolina tomorrow. They're sitting at the exact same record, 10-16. They have each other next week in all three games. This one will be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Missouri. You think the Vols are going to get in?
You know what? I'm going to say yes. I am. I'm going to say yes because I think that Will Neely is going to give them a gem today. And I think the offense is going to do enough to score one more than Vanderbilt. And I think they're going to go into that game needing to win one. If they win the series, I think they're in. And I think Tennessee will do it. But it's going to be a lot on Neely's shoulders today because their bullpen is a little bit thin at this point. Lingenfelter and Crochet are probably down for today. Lingenfelter for sure. He threw 94 pitches on Friday. He can't come back today. Crochet, who is a freshman, he's pitched on back-to-back days, and I don't know how many times he's ever done that. So it would be difficult to run him out there today, a third day in a row. So a lot of this is going to fall on Will Neely, and it's going to fall on Garrett Stallings, who they have available in the bullpen. And I think Neely's up to the task. He's been pretty sharp this year.
Well, I think you're right, buddy. Hey, Alan, I appreciate it. As always, great. Coach will be back next Sunday, and you all will be back to your regular deal. So thanks for the past 2 weeks, and enjoy your Mother's Day weekend, brother.
Will do. Thanks. Appreciate it, Tate. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. Alan Cockrell, Vol Baseball. Up next, Ryan Callahan of GoVols247.com will join us, talk some Vol football recruiting right here on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
I love my community. And as a doting dad,
Daddy's home.
A devoted son.
There you are, Joe.
And a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it.
A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
Our customers know that Mid-South Business Furniture is the office furniture expert in Middle Tennessee. But did you know that we are also an experienced office design firm as well? Our office design staff will amaze you. We can also meet your office supply needs with next-day delivery. Our online ordering is quick and easy. Give us a call at 297-5654 or visit our website at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com. Mid-South Business Furniture. Fun jingle, serious business.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
Okay, honey, sit down. I have something to say.
Oh, do I have a choice?
Yes, please, have a seat.
Can I sit in the living room?
Of course.
Or how about the porch?
Can you just sit right here, please?
I thought I had a choice. Hey, you said I had a choice.
Oh, boy.
At Farm Bureau Health Plans, you have choices. With lots of plans for families and individuals with different levels of coverage, deductibles, and co-payments, we've got you covered. Go to fbhealthplans.com or visit your local Farm Bureau office.
I don't know much about tires other than the fact that I need four of them to drive around. I do, however, know Bruce Rather at Tire World, and when my car needs tires and alignment, an oil change, or a problem diagnosed, Bruce gets a call from me. For 35-plus years, Tire World has been a staple in Rutherford County. They have locations in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Chapel Hill. So for most any kind of tires at great prices, go see Bruce at Tire World and look him up at tireworld.us.
Welcome back to Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company, where it all begins with home. Ryan Callahan of GoVols247.com joins us. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Doing well, my friend. Thank you for joining us again. Since last Sunday, I guess the news on the commitment trail, Sean Brown, tight end out of Coosa High School, Rome, Georgia, committed to the Vols. Tell us about Sean.
Yeah, really nice pickup for Tennessee. They already had one tight end of the 2019 class, Jackson Lowe, who's now a four-star in the 24/7 Sports Composite rankings. And he's from Cartersville, Georgia, not too far down the road from Sean Brown in Rome, Georgia. And around the time he committed, he and Sean Brown, you know, already had kind of hit it off pretty well on a couple of visits together. They'd been met during a visit to Auburn, and that's the two schools it came down to in the end for Sean Brown, but were Tennessee and Auburn. And he just kept going back to Tennessee. He visited Tennessee four times since between early March and the spring game last month at Tennessee. So really got a good feel for Tennessee, and I think with each visit just became more and more comfortable there and realized that's where he wanted to be. So some other schools jumped in there recently. He got offers from LSU and Ole Miss a couple weeks ago, but no one that really convinced him to hold off on making a decision or take more visits. So Tennessee lands him and gets another big tight end. He's 6'5", 245 pounds, and with a frame that can add even more weight. So just like Jackson Lowe, it's another guy that can block and really help in the run game in addition to being a playmaker in the passing game. That's what Tennessee really needs at that position. I don't think they feel like they really have any tight ends on the current roster that can do exactly the things they want to do. And, you know, you'll add junior college guy Dominic Wood Anderson this summer, and then you throw in these two guys next year, that position will look entirely different here in the next year or so.
So they'll be done with tight ends with this class?
Yeah, that'll be it. Two tight ends, and with all their other needs, that's pretty much going to have to be the situation. But I'm sure they're happy to have those two locked down and now just have to fight to hold on to those guys.
Another position of need, always a position of need anywhere, linebackers. They had Lakia Henry in this weekend. He's a JUCO from Dodge City Community College out in Kansas. How'd that visit go? Tell us about Lakia.
Yeah, went really well, I think. You know, he admitted Tennessee set the bar pretty high for him, and I think they're the team to beat right now. This was, though, his first visit he's taken, even in high school. He said Dodge City was the only school he visited, so he really hasn't been through the recruiting process yet. He's got some other big offers, so we'll see if Tennessee can kind of fight off those other schools. But at the very least, Tennessee has set the pace so far, and I think they've got a real shot at him. They've made him a big priority. Obviously, linebacker is a position where they didn't load up in this last class. They got a couple of good players, including J.J. Peterson, but still need more depth there, I think, to fit what they really want to do at that position in the future. And he's definitely a good player and someone that, you know, Alabama and some other schools already have offered. So originally from Georgia, too, so he's a Southeastern guy, and I think that will help him, you know, probably end up in the SEC. And I think Tennessee's got as good a shot as anyone right now for sure after that visit this weekend. They really impressed him, and I think he's thinking quite a bit about Tennessee right now.
How did he slide through? He's from Georgia, correct? How did he slide through and make it to JUCO? Was it size, grades? What? Why did he end up there?
Yeah, I think mostly grades. You know, just not academically qualified coming out of high school, but you know, that's, some of it just can be profile. You know, it's amazing how many players weren't even that heavily recruited coming out of high school, go to junior college, and then just blow up. And it can be notoriety. It can be just, you know, getting better or getting more of an opportunity, ending up in the right school, or any number of things. But his film from his first year of junior college definitely stands out compared to what you saw from him in high school. So I think he's pretty quickly emerged as a big time player. He's currently ranked the number two junior college prospect in the country in 24/7 sports rankings. And anybody who emerges that early in the year, because Tennessee offered him back in, I believe, March or February, anyone who emerges that early from the junior college ranks is usually a pretty big time prospect. And he's already been that, and has double digit offers, and is going to have plenty of schools to choose from in the end.
So the Sean Brown commitment was good news. Do you think they might be getting any more commitments soon?
I think there's a real chance of that. Yeah, there's definitely one announcement that we know of coming up this week. Ramel Keaton, the 4-star wide receiver from Marietta, Georgia, he's still scheduled to announce his decision Wednesday afternoon. I believe that's coming up around 1:45 Central Time Wednesday afternoon, just right after school that day. And pretty much sounds like it's down to Tennessee and Auburn in his mind. He recently visited Auburn again. That was his latest visit, so that does make you wonder if Auburn, you know, made enough of a run to really change things. But up until then, all the buzz we had heard was really about Tennessee. So I think Tennessee still has to be considered the favorite in that one, and that would be a really nice addition to get the wide receiver group started. I think that's another position they really need to start trying to reshape in the 2019 class and kind of get the next generation of playmakers going, and Ramel Keaton's a bigger receiver that certainly would fit what they would like to have at that position to be able to win some of those jump balls and red zone battles. So I think he'd be a nice fit for Tennessee, and I think Tennessee is the team to beat for him right now. And then, you know, we'll see about Lakia Henry too. I think he's a guy is, you know, he still wants to take more visits and see what's going on at other schools. But I think once he gets a better feel for some schools, if he's still feeling Tennessee, I wouldn't even rule out that he could do something in the not too distant future. I think Tennessee really made an impression on him, and we'll see how that goes when he visits Ole Miss next weekend and some other places after that.
Ryan, I was going to ask you what are some noticeable differences in the recruiting philosophy of this staff and the last one, but you know, listening to you the past few days, the one word I keep hearing every time, it doesn't matter what position you're talking about, is bigger. You keep bigger wide receiver, bigger running back, mm-hmm. bigger linebacker, bigger tight ends. What are some of those philosophies? And then I guess let's just start there. You sure seem to mention bigger a lot, talking about Coach Pruitt and his staff's targets.
Yeah, now obviously in the defensive front seven, you're going to see that. You know, you've got to have bigger defensive linemen and bigger linebackers. But I think in general that is a good observation at running back. You know, Jeremy Pruitt's made it clear that he sees bigger running backs as being able to cause more problems for defenses. He said there's a reason not all boxers and wrestlers are in the same weight class. That's because it's not fair for the smaller guys to have to go against the bigger guys. And he mentions that when a bigger guy pushes the pile in between the tackles, he usually falls forward for another yard or two that a smaller running back wouldn't get. So you know, he's been around that at Alabama and Georgia, even Florida State. So he knows the value of those guys. It's just finding those bigger players at running back who have good speed too, and they're hard to get. But that's definitely what they want there. They definitely want to be bigger at tight end so that those guys can help in the run game and block more effectively. Butch Jones's staff kind of viewed the tight end position as more just bigger pass catchers essentially, and I don't think that's what this staff wants there. Offensive line, I don't think you'll see too much difference there, but definitely a lot of positions. I think that's definitely the case. And at corner, obviously, they've made that a priority to find as many 6-foot corners as possible, and they're not as likely to budge on that as the old staff was sometimes to just find speed. I think they'll definitely want bigger corners. Beyond that, I think the biggest thing is geographically, I think they want to make sure they hit the Carolinas. That's an area Tennessee didn't always hit consistently well under Butch Jones's staff. I think in North Carolina, they were kind of hit and miss. This staff's made North Carolina a big priority. And they've gotten back into Alabama, which obviously they have ties there with Jeremy Pruitt and other guys that have been at Alabama before. But I think that's the big difference. This staff is willing to go in there and fight some battles and trying to have a big presence in Alabama. And that's been tough for Tennessee in recent years. But when they were at their best, they were winning recruiting battles in Alabama. So we'll see if they can keep that up. But they're off to a pretty good start there. So I think they've had better ties throughout the Southeast, starting with North Carolina and Alabama.
Yeah, and well, and that always surprised me because Coach Fulmer made a killing in the Carolinas when he was the head coach, you know, and you hear Kippy Brown on earlier, even back with Coach, you know, Carl Pickens, they're all from North Carolina. Anyways, so yep. Tennessee had a couple of, has a couple of graduate transfers on the way, obviously the Stanford quarterback and Madre London from Michigan State. You think they're still going to add another graduate transfer or two?
Well, so that's gotten interesting this week. So Jeremy Pruitt, just at the Big Orange Caravan stop Thursday in Chattanooga, kind of downplayed the need for another graduate transfer offensive lineman, but it still sounds like Tennessee is very much interested in one from Alabama, Brandon Kennedy, who is being blocked from transferring to another SEC school by Alabama. It sounds like there's still some discussions going on with that, though, and that the SEC still very well might approve a transfer to another SEC school. Schools do have to release players, but in some cases like this, you know, conferences can jump in and clear a transfer to another school within the conference. And I think there's some confidence that in the end, Tennessee still might have the option of adding Brandon Kennedy if that's where he decides he wants to go. I think Tennessee and Auburn are the two main SEC schools that are battling for him or will battle for him if he gets that clearance. And I think behind the scenes, they're both interested. So I think Tennessee could be a factor for him, and we'll see about that. They had a junior college lineman set to visit this weekend and canceled that visit, indicating to the player, David Swaby, that they might have somebody else kind of already on the hook. So we'll see if anything else surfaces, but I definitely wouldn't rule out that possibility, and I think Brandon Kennedy is probably the main name to keep in mind right now.
Tony Barnhart said yesterday he thinks that Brandon will win that. He thinks Alabama loses that.
And, I do too.
You know, the good thing about that, don't know, maybe you do, but if he's backup center at Alabama, I'd say he's pretty good and we'll take him.
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance he would come in and have a good chance of starting at Tennessee, given their offensive line situation. I know Auburn needs offensive line help too, and that's why they're battling for him, but I think either one of those schools, he'd have a real chance of starting, but definitely Tennessee with what they've been through on the offensive line over the past year.
Ryan, as always, you're the man. Before you go, tell everybody where they can find you, anything special going on with your site right now and your Twitter feed, but let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, check out the site at govols247.com. Lots of recruiting coverage coming out of the weekend. They have another junior college linebacker on campus. We've already got a story up on that. And then obviously coverage of the Big Orange Caravan coming up, continuing this week, and lots more throughout the spring evaluation period for recruiting. So check that out at govols247.com.
Thank you, Ryan. Have a happy Mother's Day, bud.
You too. Thanks.
Ryan Callahan of govols247.com. He's the best. I always love having him on. So that's it for today. Thank you to Coach Kippy Brown. I hope you enjoyed that. I think that was some good Tennessee history right there past 2 weeks. So thanks to Coach Brown, Alan Cockrell, SEC Baseball. Hopefully he'll be talking next week about a Missouri series win. And then obviously Ryan. Coach Matthews will be back next Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I know I'm blessed to have a very good mother to my children, mom, and mother-in-law. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Have a great day. Coach Matthews will be back next weekend on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company.